Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. When you need a certain partnership to drive your business forward, say yes to Ulster Bank. Ulster Bank, help for what matters.
You're welcome back to the programme. It's time now for our weekly dose of financial sense as we get down to talking money with Carl Dieter from irishmortgagebrokers.ie. And Carl, this week we're going to look at how people make decisions on buying a home and how the central bank's proposal on new mortgage lending restrictions, which we've been talking about over the past number of weeks, might impact them. Now, you're not too lonely there this evening. No Jill today.
Yeah, she
you're
decided
on your own.
To bail out and go to Spain and leave me here to cover it all by
enjoying
myself.
Enjoying her sangria as we speak. Now, you've said in the past, Carl, that buying a home is different than other things that people buy because they create wealth in three different ways. Explain that.
Well, they don't always create wealth. I should start by saying that's the main caveat. You can lose a lot of money buying a home. But in general, what happens when you buy a home in many different countries around the world, in Ireland as well, you get some kind of tax benefit for it. In the past, we had tax relief at source. Years ago, there used to be a thing called a first-time buyer's grant. More recently, there was a waiver of local property tax if you bought a new home. So there's a tax benefit quite often associated with buying a home. And that's one of the things. The second thing is that even if the market stayed totally static from now until the end of all time, every time you make a mortgage payment, it's like if you think about yourself like a company, your balance sheet improves. Yeah. By owing less and the property price staying the same, you are creating wealth. That gap is wealth. And property is actually the wealth of the world. People talk about, oh, the bond market is huge or derivatives or stock markets. They are all dwarfed and all tiny by comparison to the world property market. And most of the wealth in the world is actually tied up in property. So that idea of that wealth building is something that's very important to people. And like I said, if property prices collapse, obviously you can be in negative wealth. Mm-hmm. But quite often over the long term, people see positive wealth because once you get to zero, once the house is paid off, obviously there's some kind of surplus mm-hmm. there.
And what's the third thing then?
Well, the third thing is utility value. Because you get to use it. So when people are thinking about should I rent or should I buy, there's a host of different things that you go through. But if you rent your house, you're getting the use of it. But if you buy a house and you're living in it and using it, you're getting those first two things that I talked about, and you're getting the use of the property itself, which the renter doesn't get. The renter does, it's a trade-off. The renter does get other things that you won't get, such as flexibility, the ability to leave, change house, etc., that if you buy isn't as easy. But there is. There's a host of trade-offs there. And the three that work quite often in the owner's benefit are the ones we just listed.
So should everyone buy or at least attempt to buy a home?
No. No, absolutely not. It's a huge financial undertaking, and you know you've got to think about what you're doing, your reasons why. Like I said, renting does give flexibility. I was a renter for years, and I still am in some ways. Our company rents the premises from a landlord. It would make no sense for our firm to try and buy a place. Equally for people, if you want to change jobs, you know, or you have a job that is quite mobile, then buying a house and settling down somewhere is a mistake. You need job flexibility and you need flexibility of where you're living for that. And people also forget that, I suppose, when you're buying a home, it's not you versus the market. It's really you versus you. And that's something I can't stress enough.
What do you mean by that?
Well, okay, look, say if, again, that we knew that the prices would stay the same for the next 50 years. Would you be better off renting for 5 years and then buying a house or buying a house today? Because if it was a purely financial decision and we knew that what the future held, then you'd buy it today because in 25 years you'd be debt free. Whereas in 25 years, by waiting, you would still have 5 years to run on your mortgage. Now there's an argument. You could say, I'd save up, I'd have a bigger down payment. Equally, if you bought the house straight away, you could overpay. But I'm just saying in terms of making like future forecasts, it is a deeply personal thing. And I think that the right to housing is a very good concept. But I think the right to owning housing is a deeply mistaken one. And that's why not everyone should say, I aspire to ownership.
Absolutely. And the central bank, these proposals on mortgage caps, is that a way of protecting people from making bad decisions or borrowing too much money?
It can be, except that in this case, I don't believe it will be. Like, I agree with regulation, and I think I speak for a lot of people in industry. When we're saying yes to regulation, we're saying no to just this particular one. And the reason is that some of the flaws aren't being discussed. So when you look at other countries that have caps like this, they say, oh, Sweden introduced these caps. Well, the Swedes make bad decisions too. You know, they're not immune from it. And equally, the Swedish said, we're doing this and it will stop rental or stop property prices from rising. And property prices have been rising out of control there for the last 4 years since they did it. So it's known not to work. The second thing is that they say, well, they've done it in Finland and Canada. And that is true. But in Finland and Canada, you can actually borrow quite often up to 95%, which is more than what we do here, if you take out a type of insurance known as a mortgage indemnity guarantee. Now, a MIG or a mortgage bond, they used to be very commonplace in Ireland, and we used to do them. And in fact, I think the evidence that, is most important is the fact that a lot of those loans with those insurances weren't called in. And it just goes to show it was when banks stopped doing them and really went haywire that that's where the problem was. And equally, this doesn't stop people from job loss. And job loss drove down a lot of people into arrears, including those who had very low loan to value. So, you know, lending is at 1/10 of what it was at the peak. At volumes last seen in the 1970s, we're at no risk of a credit bubble. And trying to fix a supply shortage with a tool like this is really what I would say. It's akin to trying to fix a broken arm with antibiotics. Antibiotics are a medicine. Are they the right medicine for a broken arm? Probably not. So use the appropriate tools.
But could you measure the effects that this might have on some of the people that you say might be locked out of buying a house?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, in some of my, I suppose, deeply geeky moments privately, I build these calculators to see what the future holds. And you can build different scenarios. I built one for this and I looked at what would happen, say, if you were to make a forecast on rents, a forecast on prices, a forecast on what your position would be based on whatever your belief is. And I was able to run those.
And you have some of the examples, and we'll take one of them. Joe and Jane both earn the average wage of about €35,000 a year. They saved up €25,000 of a deposit to put on a house which costs €250,000. Now, what happens to them if the prices go up by 3% a year while they try to save up the additional 10% and their rent, meanwhile, is also going up by 2% a year?
Okay, so we're saying that it will take maybe 4 years for them to save that extra €25,000. So during those 4 years, and their rent starts off at 1,200, if you took all those rents and they were going up, as we mentioned, and you looked at the price, then at the end, had they taken out a mortgage at a regular mortgage rate, they would have paid €57,000 on the loan and they would have rented, and that would have cost €60,000. But that's only one little way that they're worse off by renting. The loan balance, had they bought the house originally with a 10% deposit, would be €202,000 in 4 years' time. But if prices rose by 3% a year, in 4 years' time, the property would cost €281,000. And when you put down a 20% deposit on that, and this is where I'm just flabbergasted, you would actually still be looking at having a mortgage balance of €225,000. So had you bought now, your loan balance would be €202,000. But if you waited and put down a bigger deposit and prices rise, your loan balance in 4 years' time is €225,000. That means you're worse off to the tune of €26,000. And I can't believe that this isn't something that is more obvious, because we know that this won't stop prices from rising. And but by locking people out, you're actually killing their wealth.
Yeah, but what if the prices fell? What if prices go down for 2 years and the rents go up?
Yeah, I have a scenario for that as well. So we looked at a similar one. And I should say, I'll put this calculator up tomorrow. It's an Excel sheet on mortgagebrokers.ie.
Okay.
So people can check for it and they can run their own scenarios to test whatever their belief is. If property prices fell, and we can say, for instance, rents continued to rise, property prices fell, that is a time when, if they continue to fall, that you would be better off. But again, it's collapsing values is one of the times where that happens. But if you look at what is most likely to happen, like the ESRI are saying that they expect prices to rise next year and the year after. But even in that scenario, if the people were paying, say, $1,300 a month in rent, and prices fall by 3% a year, and rent prices were still going up, they're better off to the tune of €18,000, but then you still have that effect of if they took out a 25-year loan, they're going to finish in year 30. Now, like I said, chances are if they were able to save up like that, they have a smaller loan balance, they'll pay it down quicker. But I just don't think that making people worse off is really where we should be going with financial regulation.
So final advice then?
My final thoughts, you know, they echo what we often tell people, you know, something as big as buying a house or any big financial decisions, really think it through. I think when people do their sums, and like I said, I'll put this up on our website tomorrow, and they can check whether they'd be better off or not, they'll know. I think that regulation is good, bad regulation is bad, and stopping people from doing responsible things strikes me as being irresponsible. And in that case, this isn't prudent regulation, it's just flagrant arrogance and probably has no place in the market without the empirical evidence that industry is saying we need before we take an action like this.
Okay, Carl, we'll see you next week. Thanks very much indeed. Carl Dieter there from IrishMortgageBrokers.ie brings the time to 6:31.